Today we want to think on the subject, Behold How He Loved. We understand human love, love between a husband and wife, between a parent and a child, or a brother and a sister, or a child and a grandparent, friends, and so forth. We understand those, and that love can become very deep, but sometimes that love is limited. It seems deep until something unexpected happens, or it seems deep if the other does not turn away from, or if the other does not turn against us or let us down in some way. A husband may speak of how deep his love is for his wife, but a few years later, with hatred in his voice, he can say, I can never forgive her for what she did to me. Or that can be vice versa. Or a parent may speak of his love for his child, and then after a heartbreaking experience, forbid the child to ever set foot in the house again. The breakdown may not seem to go this far, and yet sometimes the love that once seemed to be present does not seem as deep as it was before. When God speaks of love, He speaks of that which gives of itself, of that which is willing to lay itself down for the benefit of the one loved. In Romans chapter 5, verse 7, we read, For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. In other words, rarely for a godly person will someone die, but sometimes someone will die for the sake of a good person. Good in the eyes of the world. That doesn't happen often, but sometimes it might. But who would die for that drunkard on Skid Row, or that child abuser, or that wife beater, or that murderer on death row, or that prostitute, or that drug addict? But notice Romans 5:8. But God commendeth or showed his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God's love was so deep that Jesus not only died for the good religious sinners like Nicodemus, but for all the rest, for the world. In Romans 5:6, we read, For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. It was never a question, should he die for sinners, or would he die for sinners? But the question was, when would he die for sinners? And the Bible says in due time, or in other words, at just the right time. Love that was willing to give of itself, even unto death, was the kind of love that Jesus showed all through his earthly ministry. We see in John chapter 11, verses 35 to 36, Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. Now this was said of Jesus toward Lazarus who had died, but this was true of his love toward everybody. There are times when he was angry because of sin, as at the cleansing of the temple because of what they were doing in the temple, or there were times when he rebuked the religious leaders and called them hypocrites and spoke harshly to them. And yet later, we see him weeping over them, angry over their sin and rebellion, but he deeply loved their souls. In Luke chapter 19, verses 41 to 42, we read this. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou at least, in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. And then in chapter 23, verse 37, we read this. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them that are sent unto thee. How often I would have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and yet you would not. Now, even though there were times that Jesus had to be very firm with them, yet he deeply loved them, even though they were living in rebellion against him. Now, there's other examples in the Word of God that show how greatly God loved. The Bible shows his love to the wild, violent man who's called the maniac of Gadara. He lived in a cemetery and was demon-possessed, and was unclothed, and could not be controlled in any way. And yet, in Mark chapter 5, verse 19, we read this, Mark 5, 19, Howbeit, just Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Now notice it says that Jesus had compassion on him. Jesus had saved him and delivered him from his demon possession. And this maniac, now that he was saved, wanted to stay with Jesus and follow him. But Jesus said, no, go home to the people that know you how you used to be and show them what has happened in your life, how I've saved you and how I delivered you from the demon possession and how you're a changed person now. Go home and show them what took place in your life. And then we see, the example of a woman caught in the very act of adultery, and she was condemned by the religious leaders. And in John chapter 8, verse 10, we read this. And when Jesus lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Now, Jesus had forgiven her sin, and she had placed her trust in him, and he had saved her soul. And instead of condemning her for how she was, he saved her and forgave her and gave her a new life. And then we see the example of Zacchaeus, who was a tax collector. Now, if you remember, tax collectors were known to cheat people and to become rich off of the people that they collected taxes from. And tax collectors were greatly hated by the people. Now, we see concerning Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, verse 5. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Now, Jesus was walking with a multitude of people, and Zacchaeus wanted to come close, but he couldn't get close because of the great multitude of people. So he ran ahead on the path that Jesus was following, and he climbed up into a tree so he could see Jesus. And when Jesus got there, he looked up and told him, Zacchaeus, come down. And then in verse 9, Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. So Jesus saved him, and he changed his life, and he made him into a new creature, and so that he became, and it doesn't tell us this, but we can assume that he became an honest person that became loved by people after he was saved. So regardless of their walk of life or condition, Jesus loved these people. Now notice, Bible gives us other examples. We see a leper back in Mark chapter 1, verses 40 and 41. Mark chapter 1, 40 and 41. And here we read, and there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean, or you can deliver me from this leprosy. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. Jesus loved him, and he healed him of his leprosy and made him a new person. And then we see the example of a widow whose only son had died. And in Luke chapter 7, verses 13 to 15, we read about that. Luke 7, 13 to 15. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier or the casket, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto you, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him, or took him, to his mother. So he deeply loved this widow and healed and brought to life the son that had died. And then we see the multitudes. And in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, Matthew 9, verse 36, we read this. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Now, many of these people were no doubt people that had hated the Lord Jesus, and yet he had compassion on them because they needed to place their faith in him, and they needed to love him. Now, we see the response of the father toward his son, and this is the account of the prodigal son, and it illustrates God's response toward repentant sinners. And we read in Luke chapter 15, verses 20 to 24. Now I realize this is the prodigal son, but it illustrates the kind of love that Jesus has towards sinners. And in Luke 15, beginning with verse 20, it says, "And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat, and be married. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found. And they began to be merry." Now, as I said, this father of the prodigal son illustrates or is an example of the Lord Jesus and his great love towards sinners who have gone astray. And when they come to him, he gladly receives them and saves them and changes their life. Or a Christian who is already saved and then turns away from the Lord and goes off into sin. And when that person returns and comes back to Jesus and confesses their sin, he gladly receives him and restores him back in the fellowship with him. Now, all of these are examples of God's love. And I think of one key verse that all of us, I'm sure, know very well. And that's John 3:16, which says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son," that's Jesus, "that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That's the kind of love that God has. And in closing, I want to read two verses in 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation or the satisfaction for our sins." And the Bible says that every person is born as a sinner and grows up as a sinner. But God, at the right time, sent Jesus to die for all the sin of the world, to pay the penalty for everybody's sin, so that whoever comes to him and places their faith in him can have their sin forgiven and have everlasting life. And then in 1 John 4:11 we read, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." And so as we see that God loved us so much that he sent Jesus to come and be our Savior, that we might have our sin forgiven and have everlasting life, we ought to love others. we ought to demonstrate a deep love toward others so that others can see that we love the Lord and that we know Him and that He's our Savior and He's our Lord. And we need to show that kind of love to others. And may God help us to be a very loving, caring people. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, how thankful we are for Your great love for us. And we thank You that You loved us so much that You sent Jesus to come to earth and die for our sin as our sacrifice on Calvary's cross. And we thank You that when we came to Christ and acknowledged our sin and asked You to forgive our sin and receive Jesus as our Savior, we thank You that our sin was all forgiven and we became one of Your dear children. And Father, I pray that just as You loved us so much and continue to love us so much, I pray that we might love others, that we might love fellow believers, and that we might love those that don't love the Lord and seek to be a witness to them, that they might come to know the same Savior that we know. Lord, help us to be a very loving, kind people. And we ask this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.